Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe through iTunes. Today I talk to Chef Scotty Yates and Jackie Prince, both food truck proprietors, Scotty with the Chef Scotty Yates Bistro Tour, and Jackie with Sprinkle the Food Truck for her cupcakery, Sweet Temptations. Both have been eager and vocal participants in the City of Guelph's attempt to make a permanent new food truck policy, and I asked them how it's been going on this week's Guelph Politicast. But first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all that money goes to a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you will be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of City Council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page, or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. And now on with the show. Until recently, there were only two types of food trucks allowed to operate in Guelph, and they were technically carts, hot dog and coffee. Now, I can't remember the last time I saw a coffee cart, and I can count on one hand all the hot dog carts in town, so we are definitely in need of an update. So this past summer, the City of Guelph has taken on a new food truck policy for a proverbial test drive, new licensing for trucks, designated spaces set aside in the downtown, and numerous new events designed to highlight Guelph's growing food truck fleet are all meant to take advantage of this exciting new culinary field. But with summer winding down, as well as Guelph's summer food truck experiment, perhaps it's time to consider how it's been. Has it been a success? What lessons can we take away as council moves to finalize this new policy in the fall? It's these questions, and more, that I wanted to put to Jackie and Scott when we got together earlier this week. The two are interesting examples of the new paradigm. Scott makes his living off his truck with locally sourced ingredients and unique confections. Jackie, meanwhile, uses her food truck as an extension of her business and a way to promote her bricks-and-mortar storefront in the South End. If there are success stories in the developments of the new city food truck policy, they are definitely two of them, and you will hear just how enthusiastic they are about the business and its incredible possibilities. So I caught up with Jackie Prince and Scott Yates in downtown Guelph. Scotty Yates and Jackie Prince, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So you are both food truck proprietors. So what's going on with the food trucks and the development of policy at City Hall is very important to you, obviously, in order to keep your two trucks going. And in terms of how the process has been so far, because people look at, you know, things going on, the development of policy sometimes takes years, and this has taken years to develop. So from your point of view, as people directly affected by the development of this policy, how's it been going?
Yeah, I definitely think that the process has been a really, as most policy processes are, like an engaging but long-term endeavor. And I think last year was the sort of landmark turning point in August 2015, where the city first permitted the sale of business licenses for food trucks. And I think that was the turning point, because every step in the process had led to that point where truck owners could actually buy that Guelph license, that local license, operate locally, with obviously many provisions. And I think the phase we're in now, which is a whole year in, is still the stepwise process of what does that look like for particular types of areas in the city. So zoning conversations have started to happen now, as well as the obvious ongoing downtown conversation. And then city parks and other types of classifications, you know, the difference between a gourmet food truck, an ice cream truck, a hot dog cart, you know, all vehicles with wheels, all serving food, perhaps not all the same rules apply to everyone. So I think it's definitely been an evolution. Yeah.
But I got to say that Guelph has been the best city to really involve us with the process of the bylaws and the licensing. They actually reached out to us to come to the meetings, and we all got to say our piece, and they worked with us that way. They also did their research going to other cities, and really getting involved with that. Hamilton had a good bylaw set up, and that was a good model to follow. We've been through a few different cities already with Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, and by far Guelph has been, not to cut anybody up at all, but I mean, Guelph's been the best to deal with and really ask for our input to develop all this. So I was really pretty happy to have that happen.
Guelph really tried to take like a look at some of the other municipal policies and then make a framework around that and include actual you know, engaged members in the food truck community, business owners especially, and so that's been really inclusive and, you know, how Guelph that they would be good at that. But of course, with that consultation has taken time, and I think that's part of, it's the double-edged sword, because it's lovely to have a lot of input and therefore lots of writing, lots of reports to come, but that's also delayed maybe the process, and in that process to have the conversation about downtown and other areas. You know, reports were going to come earlier this year and still are to come.
Because I think a lot of people feel like Guelph is behind in all this. We're trying to decide, well, we want food trucks, right? So you go to Toronto, you go to these other places, and there are just food trucks lining the street and already. And it seems to that a lot of people that were woefully behind in this area, but from your point of view, it's like, well, there's advantages to being behind in terms of we've seen what works elsewhere and what doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the give and take of that one, because, you know, every city is different. Every city has different policies, and exactly what you said, you know, to see what works, what doesn't work. You don't want to do all that, go through all that paperwork.
It's less trial and error, I think, and then they can take the, you know, pick and choose the different aspects of different municipal policies and put it together for what is like a dream policy.
Kind of the best of all worlds kind of thing, right? So.
Yeah, but it is hard to be behind the scene because, you know, Guelph is cutting edge in a lot of different ways, and I think, you know, people really support small and local businesses in Guelph especially, and to think that it was hard to burst onto this sort of new culture and add that new layer to events, I think Guelph is behind with that, and maybe it's taking more time to build that community now because Guelph wasn't one of the pioneers of food trucks in this part of Ontario. Yeah.
But the food culture here is really good. I mean, restaurants downtown, like everywhere, all over the city are really great. I enjoy them personally myself very often. And I support all those guys, right? So to just be a part of the whole food culture here, really, I think it just steps it up a bit more, right? It gives it more excitement.
And that is the most sort of common, I don't know if it's the most common criticism, but it's certainly one that's talked about often, was how do food trucks affect the brick-and-mortar restaurants? And I'm not in the business like you guys, but whenever I hear that, I always think, well, there's a marked difference to the experience. When you're going into a restaurant, you are selling an experience sitting down versus, you know, lining up at a food truck and perhaps you're eating on the grass in a park or, you know, eating on a bench or standing up or something. And I want to get your point of view about that criticism. It's like, in terms of having a food truck, do you feel like, and you probably don't feel like you're taking business away from the restaurant, but in terms of your how you see the situation, how do you see that?
I think we have a unique perspective because our bakery, you know, located in the South End, we already have a brick and mortar place. Mm-hmm. We saw the food truck as a natural extension and reflection of our business. So I think because we have a food truck and an operation that's open 7 days a week, I can honestly say I don't think it is a negative. I think definitely food trucks add another layer to the already great culture of food in Guelph and to festivals and gatherings. Like, I see food truck culture as less about equally, let's say, about the food as it is about the getting together, getting outside, being a community. I think food trucks build that community. And so when we talk about places that are traditionally underserved areas of Guelph with restaurants, unfortunately, not everyone lives downtown or within walking distance of great places to come. And so if you're in the Northeast End and there's a food truck event, you know, at a school or a church or somewhere, and you can walk there, that adds a layer. And that doesn't mean that they wouldn't necessarily have taking the 2 hours to walk downtown to come to a restaurant with your family, or if they're at a park and, you know, kids are playing and they want to have a snack. I think totally food trucks add something more and give more in a different way. And I definitely think that from the limited introduction of food trucks in the downtown specifically, you know, I've come on those days. We weren't a part of the concert series, but certainly I've been here, I've seen them. Like, patios are busy, you know. Places are busy regardless. There doesn't seem to be a monetary impact in a negative sense as of yet. I think a full-on release of trucks, seeing them everywhere, maybe wouldn't be the best, but largely I think that they can be a complementary and only grow the pie bigger rather than chipping up and dividing it smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think right now it's, you know, I think we've heard the term pirates before. Right? We come in and over the perfect hours and we lure everybody down to steal the business away, and that's not what we do.
You know? Yeah.
I liked being invited downtown. I personally don't want to park downtown. This is just for my own opinion. And just park in front of a restaurant and start serving food. It's just not
right.
Respectful. It's not cool. And none of us really do that. It's always by invitation. So, and that draws. It's not just one truck coming in. It's, you know, three or four trucks. And we make it an event. And we bring people down that maybe don't normally come downtown. And we've known that in other cities, too, where... You know, we'll do a street festival, and people come down and say, hey, I never knew that shoe place existed, or I never knew that restaurant existed. And,
creates a draw.
And it creates people to come down again and say, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to tell my friend about this one. And you know, it just brings more people into the core. And I think that's a good thing, too.
They call you pirates?
Yes.
We have been called, and that's a nice, yeah, a nice term.
There have been
sometimes.
Much more discriminatory words than pirate.
Because to me, pirate says... you come into a restaurant, take all their ingredients, go back to your food truck, and then make the
bounty. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no pillaging going on. But
yeah,
I think it's the idea that, you know, they want to think of a negative word and want to try to use something that people can relate to, and definitely it makes headlines. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But that's just a few people that feel that way, and I think once we have shown, like we've done some events downtown, that, you know, they're not affected by that. Mm-hmm. If not negatively, they'd be affected positively because there's more people coming down. Maybe they don't want to stand in line or grab a. They want to sit down, and have a beer, a glass of wine. Right?
Yeah, so, something.
I do the exact same thing. I'm happy to park my truck, sell food, park, you know, get in and go and have a nice meal somewhere else, you know, honestly.
Yeah, I think people are looking for, you know, different ways to enjoy food in the city, and that at different times and different points, depending on their circumstance or experience at the time, you know, a big festival that's happening in a downtown park is totally different than one truck parking outside a grilled cheese place selling only grilled cheese. Like, you know, I don't think any Guelph business owner is going to see a poutine truck outside one of the poutine places. But obviously, if we're going to have events that, you know, in like a big food truck gatherings and rallies and create a little culture of that, that's totally the opposite than just parking in front of a restaurant and stealing business. And I think in Guelph especially, there are so many small independent business owners. The thousands of people we've seen at food truck events, those people are a part of these restaurants as well. Like, it's, you can't say it's one or the other, because certainly it's not just, okay, well, every person that came to that event had nothing to do with any of the establishments in Guelph. There's so many great businesses, so many great food businesses. And we've seen, you know, all the support staff in front and back of house, people coming out to food truck events too.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and those conversations exist. So.
Yeah, like Jackie said, we see lots of those people out there, and they support us, we support them. It's all small business. We want to see everybody in Guelph succeed with their businesses. So it's not just, you know, and we have a good camaraderie with the trucks as well. Like, we're all friends, we all work together, and it's not just we're competing against each other. No, I don't want you here, I want you here. You know, it's a
super
it's a good
community.
Yeah, it definitely is, and we all. We all want to succeed. We all want to build this up. And if somebody fails, then that hurts all of us, right? So.
Part of the advantage, I think, might be that the diversity in food trucks now reflect the diversity in, you know, the brick-and-mortar restaurants. You have the food truck that is all grilled cheese. You have your food truck, Jackie, with his cupcakes. I think there's a local food truck that's just seafood as well.
Yeah, the Kitchener, yeah.
Yeah, Kitchener, they're starting that.
So, you know, it seems that perhaps a lot of that criticism about, you know, taking business and that sort of thing is mitigated by the fact that of you know, the old business adage about, you know, offering variety and perhaps that's mitigating some of that criticism too.
Definitely. I think so. Creating a great experience. Like, one thing that drew me to the food truck scene, like, years ago, before we even opened our storefront and before we had our food truck, was that you're delivering on something different and special. There is something whimsical and novelty of going up to a food truck, interacting in a cool way with the actual person who's the owner of it, you know, working hard and being a part of that festival or event or that small street party or whatever it is, then that is fundamentally different than sitting down in a restaurant, ordering, you know, a licensed alcoholic product or whatever, having a delicious meal. Both food cuisines totally valuable, both totally delicious, but just a very different experience and point. And the people who want to stroll through a park and have a snack is different than the people who want to come to sit in a restaurant. And that both are valid and both can be viable financially in Guelph and other municipalities, and it's obviously demonstrated that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with more trucks opening up, you know, obviously something's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're so, like, the diversity of it, you know, it's great to have that choice of people, you know, say, I'm going to go to this truck, you know, you bring your family out, and, you know, I'll serve my thing, and someone will serve their, you know, people still do the burgers and fries and the comfort foods and all that, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, I'm eating poutine off the other guy's truck all the time. I mean, it's just, even though I'm so, you know, I got a little more upscale, you know, salads and healthier and things
local.
Like that, and local, obviously, and then, yeah, it's just the choice that people have, right? So they can, you know, you got the Indian truck, you've got
all the fusion, all the different creative ideas, and I think in the restaurant and food business, it's not necessarily about the food coming out of a service window, a truck, out of a restaurant, out of a takeaway, out of a fine dining establishment. If it's innovative and tasty and great, if it's served with great value and excellent service, people are going to want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that comes out of a food truck and it's part of the growing scene in Guelph, good for us, good for the team of food trucks that are licensed here to do it. And then that can only be a way we attract more and better diversity too. The more, it's chicken egg, you know, the more we continue to have great events and support food trucks in Guelph, the more food trucks will purchase licenses here, the more larger and different types of events we can have, and the more we can help other event planners. And I think this is one thing that I've often talked about with food trucks in Guelph is that there's such a rich festival culture here anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a weekend in the summer between May and October, there's something going on in Guelph, and those event organizers completely autonomously from food trucks are reaching out to us to ask to come to their events, to help add a new layer of excellence to their events. And an example of that, I think, that's really small but great is Veg Fest Guelph. Like, they've just, it's, I think, their third or fourth year they do it down at the Goldie Mill area, and they have been actively recruiting food trucks. Like, I was in an event in June, and they're giving out promotional flyers and talking and saying, can be a part of it? And that's such a great sort of alternative event that happens in Guelph that's well attended. Thousands of people go. But they're seeing it as, how can we better our event? Let's bring food trucks in, rather than seeing it as a competitive thing, right? And that's in an area where food can be a new layer to their event, and it's celebrating a type of cuisine, a type of eating, a style, and a different lifestyle. And I think there's a place for every type of food truck in Guelph.
Mm. The whole idea about being an event sort of centric, I'm curious about whether or not if that sort of makes it easier in a way versus like just having your food truck and sort of more autonomously, you know, you go out and, you know, try and park somewhere and try to attract people versus having something a bit more organized, saying, you know, this day at this time in this place there are food trucks.
Yeah, that's what we really focus on that now. It's the history of food trucks has always been, you just go out in the street, park, and hope someone comes up to you.
Right.
And there's certain spots. I know that started with Kitchener Waterloo, and that's what those guys did to really get the ball rolling. And then now it's more like no one just does that. Everyone's organized. Everyone has a plan. Everyone has a calendar. Like, we get booked, and we schedule our events, and that way we can push it through social media well ahead of time so that people are prepared for it.
And people want choice, right? We're delivering that selection in Guelph, and being one of the, like, all the trucks do it, but, you know, trying to plan events and, you know, really trying to primarily organize events in Guelph, like weekly rallies to big events annually, you know, people want to interact with the different trucks when there's sort of like a marketplace made of it. They don't want to see, oh, just Scotty's truck, you know, and have the delicious menu he has. They want to see three lined up together, and then three times as many people come, and everyone wins. And because the food truck owners are so, like, such a friendly group, and that was a surprise to me coming into the industry, people are just so welcoming. I thought, oh, it's going to be sort of polite, but sort of maybe challenging. But no, it's unbelievable, the welcomeness and openness to work together and collaborate. You know, food trucks typically just operate in the summer until, like, late fall. We spend our winter planning the rest of the time, and having our food truck on the road for the full year this year really taught me, like, you can only be so prepared, and you can need to work even harder next winter. And I look forward to that opportunity, because we can work harder with other trucks and the new trucks that are getting their licenses every month here in Guelph, and plan new things for even the coming year for 2017.
That's a good thing, that we've had some good successful events that other trucks from other cities are excited to come to Guelph now. So it's not just here, but, like, we started going to Hamilton and places like that because that's where the big scenes were. And now that we're drawing, you know, Jackie's done a great job with a lot of the events that have gone on here too, that draws people in as well from other cities.
It's becoming popular. You know, we'll be at an event with our truck in Hamilton or in Niagara or somewhere else, and a truck owner will come up, hey, introduce himself. I've heard that there's big events happening in Guelph. I see on your truck you're from Guelph. Tell us about it. You know, and it's creating between food truck owners, a little conversation there. And, you know, we've grown from what was, you know, 8 trucks registered last year. I think we have over 15 what we would call gourmet food trucks registered now. You know, an event for that purpose can be more diverse, deliver more of what people want, and be spread around the city into all those different avenues more than just, okay, once a year you can buy food trucks food at this place because there's not enough to go around.
There are things that, like, there's we're just getting asked so much now to be participating in people's events that I find that there's almost times where we can't because there's just not enough of us yet.
So. Yes.
That's an interesting point because I found a Reddit post. Somebody was like, hey, there's a food truck event in Exhibition Park on this day. And they were talking about it after the fact. And there was like, there was only 8 trucks there. And there was like disappointment. It's like, well, 8 trucks. I mean, considering this is like the first year of a food truck experiment, it sounded pretty good. But I guess there just wasn't enough variety for this one person.
Exactly. And I think, you know, if you walk into a restaurant and there's some really great local, like, pubs and stuff in Guelph, you know, independently operated, where their menu is 10 items. And then they have apps and then alcoholic beverages. And I love some of these places, and not to name names, but there are places where you go and, like, that's what there is. And I will go there week after week after week and probably have fish and chips every time or something else that's their new feature. And you would never walk into that restaurant and say, only 10 items, slam down the menu and walk out.
Exactly.
You would be like, this is gourmet and excellent and boutique-y and small. And I love the idea that they're putting a seasonal flavor menu together. But then you get the same people coming, or maybe a different person in the same city coming to a food truck event. Each food truck with 5 items, 8 trucks, it's 40 things to choose. There's nothing here for my kids to eat. I'm never coming back. And you're like, well, wait a second. You know, we're delivering a huge variety. You'd never get at a restaurant.
Well, you know, McDonald's is just down the street, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I know that, like I said, it's chicken egg. Like, the more events we have, the more we can get people to come. And I think it's hard to recognize, but food truck businesses are independently operated businesses.
Right.
Just like that. So if you say, oh, come to Guelph, buy a license, it's $400, and you're a truck based in Hamilton, you think, okay, well, I already have several other municipal licenses. If I buy this one, am I going to do enough business in this city to pay that back, assuming that not every dollar in food I sell can be paid towards the license? You know, it becomes a trade-off, and an opportunity to grow the food truck culture has to be dependent on people coming out and supporting the trucks that do have licenses, so we can sing the praises.
There's an incentive in that to be locally focused, that if the culture is big enough, you can make a living just selling in your own area.
And I think that's the goal and the focus. Like, people like Scotty and you know, Ruben from the Mexican Fusion Truck, there are people that live in the immediate surrounding area who have a beyond personal investment in having it be a success here. So we don't need to waste our time driving to Toronto or outside of Hamilton.
Right.
Why not build up with what works here and make really great events happen locally and support the vibrant food truck scene there can be here?
I went from 5 licenses last year to 2 this year.
Oh, wow.
Because Guelph came through in August, I was like jumped on that one right away, obviously, because I want to stay home. I don't want to be traveling.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to Hamilton and that, you know, Ancaster, Dundas, all that. But the drive, wear and tear, timing, like, it's just, as much as it was great down there and everything, you know, and I love the cities, but for me to travel was hard on it. Hard on the truck, hard on my time, like I said. So I just wanted to stay home. And now I'm down to 2 licenses, which is totally fine with me. I'm more than busy enough to, you know, with, you know, the caterings that we do. Jackie does a lot of caterings as well.
Catering is a big part of the food truck conversation that I think people don't really talk about. Because as a public consumer, it maybe isn't as in their face. But at the end of the day, the people who live in Guelph, who work in Guelph, are part of these businesses who are choosing to bring trucks into cater. So they cannot be completely separate from the fact that maybe you wouldn't go to a food truck event at Exhibition Park on the weekend because you think it's too busy or your kids won't like the food or whatever. But at the end of the day, you go to work at Cooperatives, you go to work at a Linamar plant, you go to work at a small business in town, or a medium-sized business, rather, that brings in food trucks for a lunch one day.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot separate yourself from that. Your company is choosing to have corporate solutions, and that sounds so like, corporate solutions. But really, like, they think about it as a catering thing. Yeah. This is a morale thing. This is a community thing. This is a team building thing. And food trucks are busy with corporate bookings. Mm-hmm. And that adds a great aspect to our business. Obviously, you know, helps the bottom line because it's a gig where you don't need to rely on will people buy stuff? Will the weather be nice? They're buying it for their team. But it's a big thing because if you can buy a municipal license, operate here, do a lot of public events, but also balance that with some great corporate events, you can really, I don't mean line your pockets, make a living, but make a living in that you don't need to take a risk driving an hour out of town to see if people will show up who don't know you.
Yeah, the weather, that was what really I learned over the last couple of years is, you know, you can plan for a big event, and if the weather's not cooperating, man, that can really knock you down.
For sure.
There's a few that I did where I had big expectations. You know, I thought I'd retire afterwards, you know, that kind of thing. And man, oh man, I'm like, man, still paying the man, you know.
One last job.
Yeah.
To send it to this guy. But definitely, that's so obvious. And, you know, just last weekend there was an event. We had a Bracelet of Hope event downtown at Royal City Park. And, you know, the weather did not cooperate. And I said, you know, we're sort of standing around twiddling our thumbs, food trucks, and said, yeah, but we're not going to events in the pouring rain anyhow, right? So you can't blame people, and the best laid plans can't plan for things that you can't control, like the weather.
Sure. Well, I want to talk a bit about the plans, the future plans, in terms of what's going to happen with the city's food truck policy. From the sounds of things, it has been going very well, and the feedback, I think it was in the meeting in July, was that, things are going well, the food truck owners are loving what we're doing, we're loving what they're doing. Is this going to be the permanent structure, do you think? Are we sort of, it is a sort of a pilot project right now, but is the pilot going to become permanent, or do you have a sense of that in terms of your conversations?
I think it will. There's still some little tweaks that have to be done, right? But you know, generally speaking, I think that the policy is going to be here, and I think as we grow and as the city sees what happens, that's going to expand. Maybe where we operate, or the times we operate, or who operates. You know, that kind
what of kind of tweaks?
I think a lot of it was just being in the downtown core.
You know,
like the zonings, like Jackie mentioned earlier, the types of vehicles that can go in certain spots, like, you know, the ice cream places can go around the streets in residential areas, whereas food trucks can't.
They can't rove. I think
they can't rove.
Certainly there's a few tweaks. Yeah, there's the downtown piece, there's the private property piece, whether that's downtown or outside. There's the whole industrial, what's defined as an industrial area. Mm-hmm. And then certainly the definitions, I think, is going to change. Because just a conversation I had by email a couple weeks back with what is like a gourmet wood-fired pizza oven trailer truck thing, mm-hmm. where they set up a tent but also have this rolling pizza wagon, which obviously is an enormous mobile food operation. You know, mm-hmm. they allegedly are not a part of the food truck definition because they don't have a motorized vehicle.
Right.
And again, it is a food prep area, so there's health concerns, there's fire concerns, there's safety, bylaw concerns, all those types of things. So I think definitions is going to be a tweak that will come, like what defines the different categories of food trucks and where people maybe caught in the middle, where do they fit in and how do they get a business license in the city? Because we don't want anyone in that sort of world to be excluded, but also if food trucks, like gourmet food trucks, say, are held to a particular standard with requirements and fees, mainly, then how do we apply those fees fairly and in a sort of constructive way with the different types of definitions of food vehicles? And I think parks is maybe the last one, if I didn't mention that already. City parks currently are excluded right now, and there's setbacks in areas for good reason, and also for that sort of pilot introduction phase.
Right.
And so when there are big events, like that exhibition when we organize that, there's a lot of fees, there's a lot of consultation, there are beyond hundreds of emails to make those events happen because it's so new to Guam. And I think that's a huge area for the city to be able to grow, city staff to be able to grow, to help facilitate that. Not because food trucks want to have a giant event every Sunday and exhibition, but because the conversation needs to be simplified to enable these events that the public so hungrily wants. Really does. Because it's so hard to put them together, and then people have that negative feedback, or that negative, oh, it was so busy, so long, it took forever. It's like, well, that's because it takes 100 emails to plan one event, and it takes 8 months, you know. And if we're able to have two in the course of the summer, that's not enough for a city of 120,000.
Right. I do wonder how, because on the one hand, you have to make these simple, but on the other hand, you have all these various vehicles. I just want to revisit the pizza thing you talked about, because it's a cart that becomes a tent?
No, so this is what, there's a couple of them. There's one out of Kitchener, and there's one, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you know how you have like a pop-up tent, a 10x10 trailer, canopy tent, right? And you set up your sort of staging food area, maybe you have all your coolers, your sinks, your mobile hand washing, all your cash, all of that checkout area. But then what it is like an absolute trailer with like a clay dome where they wood fire it inside. And so the pizza gets cooked inside this heavy rolling pizza oven.
Okay.
But that's not technically a food truck because they then attach it to like a, I don't know, SUV and drive it away and pack all their tent in there. So
it's like a trailer.
It's a trailer. It's a food trailer.
It would almost be like a, you know, hot dog vendor in that too,
yes.
Like where you can pull it behind your truck, then set up and
But there's these gray areas.
Yeah,
businesses
it is a total
are
gray.
Interested in Guelph, but then there's these gray areas. So I think that's
and they're great people and their pizzas are great, you know,
yes.
And like so why not have
and it's
them
gourmet
involved?
And it's upscale and it's alternative.
We want them involved with our
and who doesn't like pizza?
So I don't know, we can't just say, like, if you make food on an appliance that's on wheels, that's not a food truck or a food car.
Well, I think some of, I think what it is the policies become rigid, right? So one of the inspections you're required to have to operate a food truck in Guelph is your bylaw inspection. Hmm. In your bylaw inspection, it's basically a checklist of 15 things you have to have. One of them is that you have to have a watch for children sign on the back of your food truck of so many inches and centimeters in size.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this wood-fired pizza example, this food vehicle with wheels is a clay dome that absolutely has no printing on it because it gets to 5,000 degrees and can't have anything printed on it. So on the food truck bylaw inspection checklist is that your business name is prominently featured on the side of your truck so there's no misunderstanding.
Right.
But in this case, this brownish dome doesn't have anything like that on it, right? So, and in that case, to say you're required to meet all these aspects of this bylaw, but then again, you physically can't because the uniqueness of your vehicle, let's call it a trailer, you know, where do they fit in? And right now, there's no provision for exceptions. You know? Likewise, we couldn't have a food truck like Scotty or myself that doesn't have the Watch for Children sign. But then again, you know, it's not that we wouldn't want to put that on there. Of course, we would. We're happy to comply with whatever bylaw, but the fact that some vehicles or trailers could have different exceptions, different rules, maybe those have cost implications, maybe they have business implications. I think that's where Guelph needs to become flexible with their policy, as opposed to the initial iteration of, here are the three things you must do, meet all the requirements, or not. So there's this gray area, and I think Guelph is learning through the process of people applying for businesses.
Because I know each truck has a different spot. Like, I know when you when you had to apply for, say, Hamilton's license, you had to have that. I had it on my truck, and it was too small, so I had to actually go back and get my sign people to make it larger, just for that reason. But then other cities may not require it as certain. It has to be at a certain visible height. It has to be, you know, whereas some trailers or trucks can't even put it on there because of the way their truck's structured. So, you know, it's just tweaking it again. I like to say the word tweak because that's kind of what you have to do.
Well, and it's all the health provisions too, like food trucks. You know, when you think about all the sanitation that Wellington Dufferin Public Health has, you know, hand washing, submersible, all the different temperatures, running water, all those things. In the case of this food trailer pizza oven, it has none of those things. But in the case of their operation and their pop-up setup that supports the food trailer, it would be in full compliance with everything safe they need for cold storage and hot handling and all that kind of stuff. But certainly, in the case of what is their vehicle, they wouldn't meet any of those requirements. So I think there are a lot of growth opportunities for the city to be flexible to accommodate the new types of food vehicles that may be wanting to register in the city.
I do wonder what that would look like because just, you know, the government regulations tend to be as specific as you can get while still being general enough to capture everyone. But the whole food truck business seems to roll on these little...
No pun intended.
Yeah.
These little things, you know, depending on what you make and what you offer. I wonder if the two can ever really coexist.
I think the framework is there for it to do. Like, the baseline has been set. Guelph did a good job looking at other municipalities, creating a starting point. And I think certainly that encompasses 90% of the trucks that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 10% outliers, let's say, that are equally valid businesses that want to register in Guelph that just need to find their niche into getting through some of the bylaws. And I don't mean that by circumventing the rules
for public
safety. I don't mean loopholes. No, I mean, like, how does it apply? If this is a requirement that obviously cannot be, how do we get around that? Okay, is something about safety for children a prerequisite? Maybe we have different types of signage that are accepted. Maybe we have different types of cold storage. Maybe we have a different classification for other vehicles. Right now in Guelph, there's ice cream truck, gourmet food truck, hot dog cart. You know, where do we fit in with the other types of vehicles that there can be? And how do we write in maybe a potential other category? Which really applies to such a small subset of trucks. But in the case of this pizza example, certainly there are trucks that fall into that category and then in the current system can't operate.
And that's how some of the people start. Like, you start small like that and then maybe develop into an actual truck or, you know, a bigger trailer, you know, like, say, a cafe or, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Like and people, like I said, are small independent businesses. You know, farmers markets can be seen as, like, incubators for small business, and people can grow to have the investment to purchase a food vehicle and to operate a food truck is no small barrier, right? And to think that there could be an evolution of that where you start from a smaller operation to growing into something. And you know, every day we're at a food truck event in the city, there is someone who says, oh my gosh, I want to be a food truck owner. How did you do it? What did you do? How does it help? You know, and it's not a day that goes by that someone doesn't have that dream. And until there's a framework that can make it stepwise and easy for them through the municipal policy, which they have done in an organized way, people will be able to build up their dream and make that food truck reality.
How many people have asked you for your advice on starting a food truck?
Well, let's just say I asked you for the first time when I contacted Scotty, and because I was like, well, okay, I'm going to come and talk to you. So I've reached out to you. He helped me in evolution of starting the business. But every day we're at an event. Mm-hmm. There is not an event, whether there's 10 people that come or 2,000 people that come. There is someone at the window every single day.
And I have two emails this morning already just for people who want to talk to me about idea and they want to, you know, how do you start? Like, what's the process?
Your daily life. You know, I was helping, my husband has a motorcycle and he had it safety tested the other day, and I was in the mechanic shop picking up the ownership form. He goes, oh, you've got that food truck, right? And he goes, yeah, my wife and I, we're going to start a food truck. And then you can't even in your regular life, because you wear the food truck hat, people see you as a food truck proprietor and they say, you know, this is a big thing for me. And who doesn't love cooking? Like, the food culture in Guelph and with the different you know, events that happen, people see it as an opportunity. So it's every day people want to start their
business. They see the glory part of it. And they see the movie Chef. You know, and they think that's you know, I love that movie. It's very parallel to my kind of life and career so far. And so I wish I could have sued them for copyright infringement or something, but no, it was a great movie, a real good feel-good movie, but it just doesn't happen like that. Right?
No.
You just don't build a truck in a weekend and go out and park on the street and go in and get groceries and come out and you get a lineup and say, you know.
It's like journalists who see all the president's men.
5 minutes,
like,
we'll be ready.
Career where you take down a president.
So,
you know, there's the blood, sweat, and tears that go with that, too. So that's the first thing that I always talk about because, you know, it was 8 months before my truck got on the road and, you know, trying just to talk to people and find out how to operate, like, who do I contact? Like,
it's
we had to contact everybody, and now everybody contacts us, so we actually don't have to go out and look for work anymore because we get so many inquiries, right?
And I think, too, you know, people think that food trucks will come with an instruction manual when you buy it. And if you're happy enough...
Well, we should write a book, like Food Trucks for Dummies,
Oh, exactly, yeah. I think people would buy it, right?
Yeah.
But I definitely think
sometimes
that...
Sometimes I think we're the dummies, but I'm just...
Well, every day's a learning moment, you know?
Yeah, totally is, yeah.
Yeah, and I think definitely people are interested in doing that as a business, but
it's been such a great... experience for me personally, like the people I've met, the contacts I've made, the people I've been able to serve, the events I've done, like the publicity that we get, you know, like people will say, hey, Chef Scotty, you know, walking down the street, I feel like a celebrity once in a while. It's kind of neat, you know, like, hey, I'm at the grocery store or something, you're at a restaurant, what are you doing eating here, you know, so, like, I like food just like you guys do.
I also eat food.
Yeah. And not just from my own truck.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to give you guys a minute at the end to plug your trucks.
Okay.
Sure. So my name's Dragon. I'm Sweet Temptations Cupcakery. Our mobile food truck, Sprinkle, is on the road of Guelph serving up delicious desserts. We have a signature thing we've started this summer with hard scooped Corthadairy ice cream. We're doing cupcake a la mode. So it's a delicious fresh baked cupcake from us and paired with your favorite choice of ice cream. So people love to have the best of both worlds for a sort of hearty dessert at the end of the day. And you can find us on all of our social media, and I always plug the idea of looking for trucks in Guelph, because people, one of the other common questions I get is, how do I find you? Where's the next food truck event? Mm-hmm. Street Food App, I think, would be the best way to recommend people to get it. It's called Street Food App. You want to get the Toronto one, because there's one for every major city in North America. And Scotty and myself, all the trucks who are licensed in Guelph are on Street Food App. And it's a great way to look for schedules. So I think one of the hardest things for us is trying to promote the growth of food truck events, large and small. It's not so much where's Sprinkle going to be, it's where can I find food trucks, where can we help the community stay hungry for food trucks, not be frustrated by maybe a limited number of large events, and the Street Food App is the way to go.
I love that app. Well, I do, because, you know, it publicizes us, but also when I'm going somewhere in a different city, like, I'll say, oh, let's check it out, who's operating today, and maybe you can go visit them, a place you've never been to before. Yeah, I've had people follow me, and even stalking me, I guess.
Yeah, in a polite way.
We stalk you. Yeah. We're looking for you.
We saw you on the highway.
Yeah. And
that happened.
No, they will drive just to find you. I've been at wineries down in Niagara Falls.
What makes you so great? What's on Bistro Tour?
What's on Bistro Tour?
Yeah.
You mean my big signature
dish? Why do they
stalk
you? Yeah.
So I do a gnocchi poutine, because I don't have fryers. I don't do French fries. So gnocchi is my base. I love poutines. And then I top it with different toppings. So butter chicken gnocchi poutine is my signature dish. The best of three worlds, I call it.
Yes.
But I'd like to do a lot of the upscale food. You know, I'll do a lot of stuff in, like I said, at the wineries in Niagara to, you know, pair with their wines, and I do things like that. But I also, you know, do the typical food truck events. I do, like I said, a lot of private caterings. I actually did a lot of weddings this summer, so full-on weddings. Like, catering's my whole background. Mm-hmm. I did become a Red Seal chef about 5 years ago. It's my second career. I spent 20 years in automotive, and then I decided to go to chef school, so that's a...
What a beautiful transition.
It is a great transition, I know. And I'm so happy I did it. It's just getting the, you know, what's to do it, right? Like, it's a pretty scary thing to quit your good job to go into becoming a chef, and I'm starting at the bottom, working way up again at my age, you know. I'm 29, going on,
going
some
on
days
30,
going on 60. But
big milestones coming up.
No, but the Bistro Tour, that's the name of my truck. It is basically a bistro on wheels, so I do anything and everything that I feel like, you know, and what people want. So I can.
And your menu reflects the seasonality.
Yeah, seasonality, local. You know, I'll do rabbit. I'll do fresh fish and Lake Erie perch. I'll do succotash. I use corn from the local farmers, like all that kind of stuff. So I love that part of it. You've got the freedom to create and just do what you want.
Well, guys, and this is a pun. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Scotty Yates.
Thanks, Adam.
Jackie Prince.
Great.
And once again, that was Jackie Prince and Scotty Yates. Jackie owns Sweet Temptations and its food truck Sparkle, and you can find the store at 1398 Gordon Street, Unit Number 5. You can reach Jackie at sweettemptations.ca or on Facebook at facebook.com/sweet-temptations-cupcakery or on Twitter at sweet_tea_cakes. You can find out more about Chef Scotty Yates Bistro Tour at chefscottycooks.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/gastrogourmetft, and on Twitter at Chef Scotty Kirks. And that's it for this week's episode of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to previous episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also now a Guelph Politico Facebook page, of course, and you can find that at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can also donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And of course, as always, thank you to everyone who has donated and continues to donate to Guelph Politico. For all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.